Hey, what's up, folks? This is Tony Brewer. You're listening to, or watching as the case may be, Cogitations. Cogitations is the podcast where we think about things, we contemplate them, we turn them over in our minds, and then we discuss them. Daniel chapter 7, verse 28, Daniel writes, "Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me. My countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart." We are not going to keep the matter in our heart. We're going to talk about it. Today, we're going to talk about eating too much spiritual food. Is that even anything that is possible? Well, I think it probably is. We got to be careful. We got to be careful that we're not turning something into something it was never designed to be. Anything that is practiced to the point of the neglect of something else that should be practiced turns into a vice. Every vice is simply virtue practiced to the neglect of other virtues. So when I see vice such as hate, well, hate is a vice, and that is the virtue of being unique, calling out the unfruitful works of darkness, reproving the unfruitful works of darkness, which is virtuous. You can take that so far that all you ever do is call out things that are bad, and you go from a realm of virtue into vice, and you become unloving and hate-filled. Hello, Holly Hamilton, Holly H., good to see you. Angie B., good to see you. Good morning. I hope everyone is doing well. In the comment section, I put a link to my Substack where I wrote an article that goes along with the podcast today. I would love for everybody to subscribe to my Substack. I am going to eventually monetize my Substack, but it's going to be like everything else. It's going to be free on the surface, and then anything that you want to do will be voluntarily. And if you find that it adds value, then you can do paid subscriptions. But I think that I can set it up where anybody can subscribe and it won't cost you a dime. But if you want to support monetarily, then you can do that. This podcast is in direct response and inspired by an article from a friend of mine named Luke Taylor. You can go and find his article that he wrote on his Facebook page, and it's Fat on Doctrine and Low on Exercise. We're going to read the article. We're going to talk about some of my thoughts. Then we're going to talk about some of the thoughts I had in my article, because in my article, it's entitled Striking a Balance. And I think that the reason Luke is getting pushback is because whenever our pet things get scrutinized, whenever people poke at our pet things, we get defensive. And I think folks are thinking that Luke is making a binary. In other words, it's an either or. When actually, I guarantee if Luke was here with me and we were talking, it wouldn't be either or, it would be both and. In other words, we don't need to stop having polishing the pulpit. We don't need to stop having these the Brotherhood School lectureships. We don't need to stop having gospel meetings. We need to continue to do these things, but we need to make sure that we are viewing them and using them in the way they were intended to be viewed and used. Okay? And quite frankly, I see on my timeline people treating gospel meetings and lectureships and polishing the pulpit in ways that they should not be treated, in ways that they were never intended to be treated. And that needs to be addressed, okay? For those of you that are watching on my personal profile or in the We Talk Truth group, whenever you comment, it just says Facebook user. Good morning to you, Facebook user, but I don't know who you are. And that's okay. I mean, you can choose to remain somewhat private there. Now let's get on to this article of Luke's. But before we go into that, you know, sometimes people need a listening ear and support as they work through the varied situations of life. Sometimes those situations are so complex and overwhelming that we need some extra support. This is why LaBeth started Be a Mindful Soul. At BeAMindfulSoul.com, LaBeth's mission is to offer anything from a listening ear and the advice of an older sister to help finding a professional in your area, if that's what's needed. Be sure to go to www.BeAMindfulSoul.com and check out all the services that LaBeth has to offer. She can help answer your questions about therapy treatment or other mental health services that you may need. She also provides affordable assistance and support with resolving relationship conflicts, gaining and implementing more effective parenting skills, and can help coach you through the steps you need to take in regards to finding the peace and stability that you deserve. Folks, LaBeth at BeAMindfulSoul.com is doing a good work. She offers a really good and affordable service. Her initial consult is free, where she can assess your needs and figure out whether or not she can help you or you would need to find a mental health professional in your area. I would highly suggest going and availing yourself of the things that she has to offer. And she also does blog spots and posts and stuff that are mental health focused that you can avail yourself of and be blessed. Now, let's get into the meat of the podcast. Fat on Doctrine and Low on Exercise by Luke Taylor. Considering our time spent in the Bible, in Bible study versus application. All right. So Luke starts out, you may not need another Bible study. The last thing some Christians need is another Bible class, another online Bible study, another Christian conference, another sermon. While this might sound borderline heretical, I think it's fair to say many churchgoers are fat on doctrine and low on exercise. They don't need to hear a preacher reaffirm a doctrinal point they've held for 30 years. They don't need to listen to a conference speaker restate the unifying beliefs of their brotherhood for the 118th time. They don't need to have their ears tickled by a Bible class teacher who loves talking about why their denomination is right and all others are wrong. And I'm going to speak specifically about why Luke would have used that phrase. If you're not interpreting this in the best possible light, you are not following after love. Okay? Just now, let's keep going. Some in the church need to get up from their padded pew where they've been doctrinally feasting for years, exit the church building, and participate in the exercise of application. Yes, it is important to understand the Bible, the nature of God, and the structure of the church, but we will not change the world by sitting in a building with other Christians and preaching our beliefs on repeat. How much can we consume? Food is meant to be fuel for the body, but what happens when we eat but don't exercise? We become unhealthy, right? Well, the Bible was written with the intention of the reader applying its principles. Christians who consume but do not apply will grow spiritually unhealthy. Churches with mature members ought to think of how they can redirect some of their time away from repetitive teaching and spend more time applying the principles they've learned. Mature Christians should spend less time and less money finding ways to hear their favorite preachers talk about topics they already grasp. These Christians need to spend more time and more money in the application of their knowledge in their local communities. We aren't reaching the world from our church buildings and conference centers. The last 50 years is evidence. Let's talk about spiritual comfort food. Question, have you ever comforted yourself with food? Most likely junk food. You know you shouldn't eat the junk food. You know it won't fix anything. but you do it anyway to make yourself feel better in the moment. Is it possible that we attend and host Bible studies sometimes on topics we're already well studied on, not because we need the information, but because we want to give ourselves something spiritual to do, spiritual comfort food, because we don't want to do the hard thing of exiting our buildings and engaging with the world? Good things can become bad when we do them to the neglect of necessary things. The exercise of our faith in the world is not easy, and it is often uncomfortable, but it is necessary. This was written by Luke Taylor. Luke, together with his wife Megan, are the creators and writers and web designers and directors of To Be Like Christ. Luke holds degrees in business and biblical studies. You can check out everything that he does and they do at the number two, tobelikechrist.com. So here's the thing. Is this somebody that is bitter and just criticizing for the sake of criticizing, or is this coming from a good place, and is this something we all need to listen to and take heed of? Obviously, it's something we need to listen to and take heed of. Luke is not criticizing for criticizing's sake, for criticism's sake. I run into this problem with the book. I can't even remember what it's called. I remember what it's called, Muscle and a Shovel. I criticized Muscle and a Shovel. I do not like that book. I do not like that book at all, because it's nothing but a fictitious retelling of something, of events that actually happened. It needs to be in the fiction section. It's not nonfiction. I have talked personally to people that were involved in characters in the book, and one of the elders at the congregation where the author of the book was preaching when all of this was, when it was being written and a lot of this was taking place, he said that the book should be in the fiction section. Now, do I think that the writer of the book is sinful for writing the book? Well, no. In fact, I think if we use the book rightly, then it's a good thing. But the problem is how my brethren perceived the book and used the book. I saw a post on Facebook of people with their quote-unquote personal evangelism emergency kits, and they made sure they had that book and the pamphlets and stuff, and it's almost as if the Bible was an afterthought. I actually talked to an elder on the phone, and he asked me about the work that I was doing. This was back in 2015, 2016, I can't remember. He asked me about the work that I was doing, and I was at a small congregation where we needed to grow and stuff like that. And he said, well, what are you doing for your evangelistic program? I said, well, I'm out in the community. I'm talking to people. I'm getting Bible studies and stuff like that. And he said, well, there's a really good book on evangelism. I said, there is. I said, well, that's good. I said, what book are you referring to? I knew which one he was talking about, because at that time, you couldn't do evangelism without that book, according to many of my brethren in the brotherhood. And he said the title of that book. It's like, okay, well, I said, I think my evangelism book is better. I'm using a book that's different than that, and my evangelism book is better. And without hearing the title of the book that I was using, he goes, oh, I don't know. He said, this book, Muscle and a Shovel, is responsible, I think, for at the time, like 30 or 40,000 baptisms, which who knows if that's even true. And he said, what book is it that you use? And I said, the book of Acts. I just used the Bible. And he scoffed. An elder in the Lord's church scoffed. And then he extolled the virtue of this book written by a man in modernity. And I'm like, you've got some issue, brother. These books like this, they're going to come and go. The Bible is timeless. What's the point? The book itself is not bad. I didn't have a problem with the book itself. I had a problem with how my brethren treated it. They elevated it and they considered it and they used it in ways it was never intended. What's the issue with that? All right. Now, with polishing the pulpit, with the Memphis School of Preaching lectureships, with the gospel meetings, with the gospel meeting circuit, with these brotherhood lectureships, with all of this, that, and the other, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with it. It's a good thing. In fact, Luke Taylor here, in the implication of this sentence, good things can become bad things when we do them to the neglect of necessary things. Good things can become bad things. Folks, Luke is saying in this sentence that these conferences, these gospel meetings, these lectureships are good. So don't come after him. It is wrong. All he's doing is writing here and saying, maybe we need to step back and think and consider and scrutinize what we have allowed these things to become. Because I'm going to tell you, all right? I'm going to tell you, whenever I look at polishing the pulpit, I see a conference where doctrine is decided. I think that's what it's become because that's the way people look at it. I have been told some of the things that I preach and teach, well, that's not what so-and-so preaches at polishing the pulpit. My response is, I don't care about what so-and-so preaches at polishing the pulpit like I don't care about the Nicene Creed. I teach the Bible, and I teach the Bible, and not a panel. It's not, y'all. Peer review. That's what I've lost. I teach the Bible, and when I study the Bible, I am not interested as much in peer review as I am just sitting down with the Word of God and using my software to interface with this hardware, or using my hardware to interface with this software. I may be getting the metaphor backward. When I was growing up, I was told a lot, the reason the Church of Christ is different, one of the reasons, not the reason, but one of the reasons, is we have no national conference. Well, now we have a national conference. And if you think PTP is not a national conference, then you've got some issues. You're naive. Now, why is it a national conference? It's not a national conference because that's what the people that put on PTP intended for it to be. It has become a national conference because that is what the brethren perceive it as, even if they don't use those words. Okay? Does that mean we need to stop doing it? No. But what that means is whenever somebody scrutinizes and says, hey, listen, it may be that we're spending so much time, effort, and money to go to a place like polishing the pulpit, maybe we need to do that and spend an equal amount of time, effort, and money in the local congregation. Everything about the Bible emphasizes the local congregation. I do not understand why people have it's like they don't understand what they're saying. I'm not saying that folks are false doctrine. I'm not false teachers. I'm not saying that they're malicious. I'm saying that they're ignorant and they just don't think about it. But there's a passage of scripture that Paul writes to Timothy, and he's talking about people who are malevolent and nefarious and have ill motives. I'm not saying anybody associated with any of this does, but there's a phrase that Paul used, and it applies with most of my brethren. Desiring to be teachers of the law, not knowing what they say, nor whereof they affirm. Now, my brethren are not desiring to be teachers of the law. They're actually going to conferences like this to learn. but they do not understand what they're saying nor whereof they affirm by what they say. Let me give you an example. Well, there's actually, you know what? I can't show it. Let me just describe it. I stole a meme because I wanted to. The meme was in. Let me open it up here. All right. The meme has a picture of the globe, the Polishing the Pulpit logo. And on the left-hand side of the globe in the Polishing the Pulpit logo, it has spiritual battery. And it's plugged in. And it's down on red, meaning there's no juice. There's no power. They're depleted. And it's before Polishing the Pulpit. And then spiritual battery after Polishing the Pulpit is green. It's got the lightning bolt signifying the power, stuff like that. I'm like, you don't understand what you're affirming by what you're saying. You are saying that the local congregation where you are doesn't provide you spiritual renewal. Folks, go to, you should be spiritually renewed daily, all right? I think about the verse from Titus. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Do you not experience this renewing every time you're with the brotherhood? Do you not experience this renewing every time you're at the local congregation? If you're not, either you or your local congregation needs a revitalization, a reformation. You're doing something wrong. You're doing Christianity wrong if you think you have to wait an entire year for a Christian conference to have your battery renewed. I experience this every week. I experience a spiritual revitalization. I get my spiritual battery charged when I go to worship on Sunday, when I go to Bible study on Wednesday. My wife and daughter just left the house. They're going to a craft day at the church building where they're teaching some of our members, some of the members of the congregation here, how to do some knitting. They're going to be spiritually recharged. If you have to look forward next year to Polishing the Pulpit for the next time you have that spiritual fulfillment, you're not doing enough. You are, as Luke put it, fat on doctrine and you're low on exercise. Go out and exercise. I am reminded of what is probably an apocryphal story about Johnny Ramsey. I seem like I've referenced this every podcast for the last week, but an old lady from the church calls him up and says, I just feel terrible. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. Nobody cares about me. And he says, sister, you made me sick. Go get a pie. Take it to the shut-ins. And he hangs up the phone. He says, I've got work to do. He hangs up on her. And then Sunday rolls around. She marches to him. She says, I've got words for you, Brother Ramsey. He said, I figure you might. She said, I was so angry. The only thing that I could do was do what you said. And I bought a pie. I took it to so-and-so. We ate pie and drank coffee for hours on their front porch. And it was the best day I've had in a while. You have to get out and do. Do you consider the church a cruise ship or a battleship? I'm really afraid that we look at the church as a cruise ship, and one of the amenities of being a Christian in the Church of Christ is the lectureship, the gospel, the lectureships, the gospel meetings, and Polishing the Pulpit and other conferences like that. And it's that's not a reflection on gospel meetings, lectureships, and Polishing the Pulpit. That's a reflection on us collectively and how we view these things. All right. So I really appreciate Luke's article. Now, I want to address this turn of phrase. Where is it at? Uh-oh. Okay. The turn of phrase where he says, yeah, they don't need to have their ears tickled by a Bible class teacher who loves talking about why their denomination is right and all the others are wrong. You have to understand Luke's target demographic. Luke's target demographic is not the Church of Christ. Luke's target demographic are people who profess to be Christians, regardless of whether they are right or wrong. And as such, he uses language that resonates with them. If you accuse Luke of thinking and teaching and believing that the Church of Christ is just another denomination, then, and you have not talked to Luke himself and figured that out, then you're wrong and you're in sin and you're going to go to hell unless you repent. Okay. That's all I'm going to say about that. We have a lot of comments. I appreciate them. Let me go down here. So Holly H and Angie B, good morning. And of course, Facebook user, good to see you. And John Exum says, I may have misunderstood his point when I read it. Nonetheless, it's important to put them in remembrance. Yes. And again, nobody's, Luke would never deny that we need to have cement poured to our foundation, that our foundation needs to be maintained. Luke is just saying that probably the best way to do that is the scriptural way, and that's on a local level. If you think that the lectureships and the gospel meetings and the conferences such as Polishing the Pulpit serve that purpose, you're sadly mistaken. That's not the purpose they need to fulfill. Good. And incidentally, good morning, John. If the saved don't speak, the lost can't hear. That's exactly true. And if the saved are not equipped to speak, and if the saved are not equipped to speak intelligently, then it doesn't matter if the lost hear them or not, the lost to stay lost. And one of the great positives out of gospel meetings, lectureships, and conferences such as Polishing the Pulpit is we get access to education we wouldn't otherwise have access to on the local level. Angie B says, I listen to certain podcasters and do self-study so I can have a conversation with my friends outside the faith who are asking questions. We need to be better prepared warriors and go to the fray. Yes. And that is a good example of why conferences such as Polishing the Pulpit, lectureships, and gospel meetings are important, and they play an integral role in support for the local congregation. But I think, and no buts, period. That's a true statement. And on top of that, nothing to do with Angie's statement, I do believe that perhaps we have allowed the tail to wag the dog. The dog should be the local level. The tail should be gospel meetings, lectureships, and conferences such as Polishing the Pulpit. But I'm afraid that certain Christians have made the lectureships, the conferences such as Polishing the Pulpits and pulpit and gospel meetings, they have let that become the dog, and the local level become the tail. I wonder how he taught evangelism. Excuse me. I wonder how he thought evangelism was done before that book came out. Speaking of that elder, yes. Yeah, that's, I can't remember if I asked him that or not. And no book is above the word of God. That's borderline blasphemy, scoffing at the Bible. And of course, Jason Goldtrap said that Muscle in a Shovel is an amazing book, but I know the author and he would never claim it as a substitute for the Bible. I don't, and I've got my issues with him, and I don't think he would either. He threatened to sue me, by the way, because I spoke out against his book. And John Exum, this John is a very humble admonition, a very humble admission. I totally missed his point the first time I read it, speaking of the article. And a lot of those guys would tell you not to believe something just because they believe it. They would say, it's a good point, Jonathan. Speaking of Polishing the Pulpit, and this was whenever I was talking about this is a conference where doctrine is decided, I don't think the speakers at Polishing the Pulpit and the directors of Polishing the Pulpit perceive nor intend that this conference is a national conference where doctrine is decided. And I agree 100% with Jonathan. They would say, do not believe something just because they believe it. They would say, believe what the Bible says. All right. And that is true. And Ibram Charles, hello from Sierra Leone. Good to see you, South Africa or West Africa. Angie B says, you are so right. Too many think that staying within the confines of the brotherhood is sufficient. I go to a job every day, so I'm exposing myself to opportunities to teach. Awesome. And that's right. Knowledge without wisdom is useless. And then Angie B says, 2-week-long tent meetings were so wonderful for bringing visitors. These conventions seem to be somewhat exclusive and expensive. Yes. And you know what? That is a valid critique, that it is expensive to go. So it kind of creates, and again, this is not, repeat, not intentional, but it does create a sort of class system where you have these spiritual elites that are affluent enough to be able to go to all of these conferences and conventions, and you have the plebeians that are not able to go. They just have to stay and work, and they can't travel. They can't take their vacations and all that. Here's the thing. I would challenge everybody that goes to all these conventions and stuff like that, do both and. Go to the conventions, go to the gospel meetings, go to the lectureships, but take Jonathan, it's a good question. I want to address that question. It's a very good question. Talk to the congregation and say, listen, we want to have a line item on the budget where we put a certain amount of money back every week. And once a year, we want to have our own event and put as much time and effort and money into your own event locally as you put into going to these conventions, gospel meetings, and lectureships. So yeah, good point, Angie B. And then this is what I want to talk about. Why not every congregation have its own polishing the pulpit, free to anyone? So that's a really good question. And the detractors, you know, there's actually people that say that polishing the pulpit is sinful, that it's a parachurch organization and stuff like that. And I don't agree with that. I do not agree that the conference itself is sinful. I agree that the way it's looked at and the way it's treated by individuals is sinful, and we need to be careful. But I've brought it up on my podcast before. To polish in the pulpit's credit, you notice that they're having another conference in Branson, Missouri. And they've already started PTP Spark, where they at different areas out of the year. I guarantee you, Jonathan, I can't think of the congregation where you are now. I know it's in Missouri. Hannibal. If the Hannibal Church of Christ contacted the directors of Polishing the Pulpit and say, hey, listen, we want to put on a PTP Spark in Missouri, and we have X amount of dollars. You know, we have $10,000 as a budget. Can you come and put on this and help for this Polishing the Pulpit Spark for the weekend? I mean, I can't speak for the directors, but I guarantee you that they would do that. So yeah, it's why not every congregation have its own polish in the pulpit, free to anyone? Yeah, they can. That's the thing. And I know you're not putting down polish in the pulpit, Jonathan. I know you're not. Yeah, Branson, John Exum says Branson is 4 hours from me. You know, that's not too bad. I mean, you could, it would be a hard trip, but you could go and you could take advantage of an entire day and you could travel back. I've done trips like that before. I've gone from Bay, Arkansas to East Tennessee and back in the same day. And then, hey, hey, Alabama says, we used to have meetings during. Hey, is that a typo? We used to have meetings during lay-by. That's why they were so long. I don't know what lay-by is. I don't know if that's either a typo or that's a colloquial term, an idiom that I'm not familiar with. So let me go to the article that I wrote. All right. So the article that I wrote is called Eating Too Much Spiritual Food, just like the podcast. And I'm going to open the article. It's on my Substack. So striking a balance, learning and doing the Christian walk. Yeah, we need more gospel meetings that last more than 2 or 3 days. Yeah, and I think local, just everything. We need to focus more on local. Again, it needs to be a both and. This is not an either or. If you leave this podcast and you say Tony is denigrating polishing the pulpit and lectureships and gospel meetings and thinks we don't need to have them, then you're going to be lying on me and you're going to be bearing false witness. We need to do both and. We need to do both gospel meetings, polishing the pulpit, lectureships, and we need to ramp up our focus on the local level, all right? This podcast is not a substitute for the Bible, nor is the intent of the host to define doctrine. That's right. That's right. I try to model the behavior of Jesus. I love Jesus' phrase, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Three times Jesus does this, and it's all fundamental to our faith. In other words, the three times Jesus says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear, is right after he teaches something that you can't be a Christian without knowing. And he doesn't ram it down your throat. He doesn't force you. He doesn't guilt trip you. He just says, if you got a set of ears, this is for you. That's what I try to model. I study the Bible. I teach what I know. And if you've got a set of ears, this is for you. If you agree with it, that's great. If it agrees with the Bible, adopt it. If you don't, then that's fine. If it don't agree with the Bible, kick it out. Both and is what most churches do. I hope so. I hope so. I would disagree with that. I don't think it's most, though. I don't think it's a both and in most cases. I think it's a we need to feel like we're busy, so we're going to have a gospel meeting. Well, what are we going to do with the gospel meeting? We need to get the big name in the brotherhood so we can attract Christians from other churches. I think that's what most people do. I think that's what most congregations do. I think congregations that do the both and is severely lacking. Now, when you get out of the Bible Belt, you find congregations focusing way more on the local because they have to. They're islands. But I think this problem is probably unique to the Bible Belt. Probably is. Anyway, here's the article that I wrote. In the journey of faith, the pursuit of knowledge and understanding is a noble endeavor. The Bible encourages us to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. However, just as with any pursuit, there is a potential pitfall, becoming so engrossed in learning that we neglect the call to action. In this article, we'll explore the importance of striking a balance between learning and doing and how the scriptures provide guidance in this manner. Let's talk about the wisdom of learning. Learning is a gift from God that enables us to grasp the depth of his word, understand his character, and discern his will for our lives. Proverbs 1:5 affirms this. A wise man will hear and will increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. When we invest time in studying the scriptures, theology, and various aspects of our faith, we equip ourselves to engage with the world effectively and share the gospel. Paul's exhortation to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15 emphasizes the importance of correctly handling the word of truth. This requires diligent study and reflection. Learning equips us to answer questions, address doubts, and provides a solid foundation for our faith. However, it is crucial that we do not allow this pursuit of knowledge to replace or overshadow the call to action. Let's talk about the call to action. James 1:22 is a direct reminder of the necessity of action. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Our faith is meant to be active and transformative. Jesus himself emphasized the connection between faith and action in his teachings. In the parable of the wise and foolish builders, Matthew 7:24-27, the wise builder not only hears Jesus' words, but also puts them into practice. This signifies the importance of aligning our learning with action. Jesus' great commission in Matthew 28:19-20 compels us to not only learn, but also to make disciples and teach them to observe all that he has commanded. This involves putting our knowledge into practice and impacting the lives of others through our actions. The Apostle Paul echoes this sentiment in Philippians 4:9, saying, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." I will add further, the God of peace will not be with you unless you learn and do. So let's talk about finding balance. Striking a balance between learning and doing requires intentional effort. Jesus demonstrated this balance throughout his ministry. He taught his disciples, he performed miracles, and he lived out his teaching in his interactions with others. His life exemplifies the harmony between understanding and application. To avoid becoming ensnared in the trap of overemphasis on learning, we can draw guidance from Micah 6:8. "He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God." These actions reflect a holistic approach to our faith, where knowledge informs action, and action deepens our understanding. I didn't add this in the article, but understand, it's knowledge informs our action, and it's our action that deepens our understanding. That's counterintuitive. You would think that knowledge would deepen our understanding. But it's the application of knowledge whereby we gain understanding. Folks, in the pursuit of a vibrant Christian life, both learning and doing hold essential places. Just as faith without works is dead, James 2:17, so too is knowledge without application. Let us heed the wisdom of the Scriptures, finding inspiration in the balance that Jesus modeled by immersing ourselves in God's Word, learning from those who have gone before us, and actively living our faith. We honor God and grow in Christ-likeness as we navigate the delicate dance between learning and doing. May we draw closer to God and bring His light to a world in need. Folks, it is very important for us to strike that balance. Jason Goldtrap says, "I can only go off what I've seen. I judge by results. I cannot read the heart of others. Frankly, I don't want to. I'm no man's judge. I'm a fruit inspector. Could churches do more? Obviously, but it is not my place to promote myself as the judge of someone else." True. I mean, I was just scrutinizing the phrase "both and" is what most churches do. And I have been in a lot of churches as a guest speaker. I've talked to countless Christians all over the world. And I will tell you that in the United States, in Western culture, in the Bible Belt, both and is not the norm. It just isn't. It just isn't. And it's not that churches are derelict. It's just we go into this maintenance stage, and it is human nature to want to be busy. And we pray, if we don't watch it, and this happens a lot, we prioritize being busy over being effective. And you'll see it in the secular world. There are people that you'll work with that, oh, they're running around like a chicken with their head cut off, and they look busy. And you'll have management that is naive that see them looking busy, and they'll think, wow, that's a really good worker. I'm like, yeah, but they're not getting anything done, you know? So anyway, I'm not saying that every congregation that you're ever going to come across is not focusing on the local level and the universal level. But I would dare say that it is more the norm. Like, for instance, when a gospel meeting is held, who are you catering to? And I've done it before. I've been witness to it before, where we're planning a gospel meeting and I say, hey, let's get so-and-so. And then they say, well, nobody knows that person. How are we going to get visitors from other congregations? And my response was, we're not trying to get visitors from other congregations. I'm like, if we have a gospel meeting, why do we even waste money inviting other congregations? Let's spend our money to go reach people that are lost and bring them so they can hear the word of God preached. You know, something to think about. Then pray for workers to send in the field. The fields are white. Well, the fields are orange in Polk County. Yeah, I guarantee it. But yeah, and we do. I mean, that was Jesus's prayer. The fields are wide into harvest, and we need, and that's the thing. We need to be workers in those fields. And the point is, you can find this in every industry. You have different sets of people, and usually the people that are in management, they are the ones that are really good at risk assessment. They are really good at managing resources, and they are risk averse. They're the reason why you have a company. But the reason the company makes money is those people in the company that they are not risk averse. They're not as risk averse, and they take more risk. One of my greatest attributes is I will jump off of a cliff and I'll look for a place to land while I'm in the air. One of my greatest negatives is I'll jump off a cliff and I'll look for a place to land while I'm in the air. Now, admittingly, I'm 45 years old. I've gotten really good at course correction midair. So when I have a success, it's an epic success. But when I have a failure, it's also an epic failure. Hold on a second. Terry, I'm going to put your stuff up so it don't jump out of the way. I watch Polishing the Pulpit for free online and learn to walk. I watch Polishing the Pulpit for free online and learn a lot. I watch Digital Bible, Cogitation, Apologetic Press, and GPN. Why? I don't get those teachings at the local congregation in New York. Absolutely. And you're a perfect example of why I say it needs to be both and. It really does. It needs to be both and. You're not neglecting your local congregation. You just have access to so much more than your local congregation can provide. Now, I'm going to use you as a kind of an example here. Because you have so much more, you have access to so much more than your local congregation can provide. I'm sure that you do not do this. I'm just using your comment as a springboard. Because we have so much more access to information than our local congregation can provide, we don't need to, we don't need to perceive our local congregation as less valuable. We need to encourage and support our local congregation. All the more, you know, it sounds trite maybe, but we need to be the change we wish to see in other people. I can't get through that without laughing, but there's truth to it, right? So be the liaison at your local congregation for these things like polishing the pulpit and digital Bible study, cogitations, apologetics. I cannot believe that my podcast is in there with Apologetics Press, GBN, and PTP. I'm very humbled. That just kind of hit me. It's like I think about Sesame Street. One of these things is not like the other. One of these things just don't belong. Huh? Anyway, okay, I'm done with that. But my point is, don't neglect the local congregation. And I know you're not, Terry. I just wanted to use that as a springboard. I'm going to take your next comment, though. When I teach others some of the things I learned from you, Brother Tony, I get that's just his interpretation. I feel so alone sitting and listening to wrong teaching at the local congregations. Yes, now you're in New York. You're outside of the Bible Belt. And yeah, so it's one of those things. Make sure, though, that when you're teaching things that you learned from me, make sure that obviously if it's a matter of fellowship, it's got to be a matter of fellowship, and we cannot agree to disagree. But I teach things that are academic pursuits that it is absolutely okay that we agree to disagree. You know, for instance, how I teach Acts 2:38 and the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's an academic pursuit. You do not have to agree with me at all. You can still go to heaven. So just be sure that you're able to ascertain the difference between a matter of fellowship and a matter of judgment. But you're right. I mean, it's the farther you get outside the Bible Belt, the harder it is to get good sound teaching. I hate that that's true. It's just, it is what it is. And I watch Polishing the Pulpit. Nope, I already got that. Where am I at? Oh, yeah. Sorry. That's why DBS and others who teach every day or most days are such a blessing to me. Amen. And the same at Terry Crooks. I really have learned so much on these platforms, and they're really good. It's got to be a both and. That's the thing. Just don't neglect your local congregation. In 2023, we live in a culture that prioritizes comfort. Getting people to do something uncomfortable is challenging, regardless of the cause. Yes, absolutely. And I think that is Luke Taylor's point with his article. It is so very comfortable to have a group of Christians over to your house to study how to be saved. It's so very comfortable to go to a gospel meeting where you hear the same things reaffirmed. It's so very comfortable to go to Polishing the Pulpit where you hear doctrine reaffirmed. It's very uncomfortable to enter into a Bible study with somebody who is intrinsically opposed in just about every way to you and yours. It's almost like politically back in the day whenever Trump was elected and there was one of these actors that stood up in an award ceremony and he said, F Trump. Do you remember that? And the news media was like, he's brave. I'm like, how's he going to be brave? He's saying that to a group of people that agree with him. I stole a video off of the internet where this guy with a big tattoo on his face, tattoo on his neck, he's like, listen, when I was a kid, I was punk rock. I was anti-establishment. Nobody's going to tell me what to do or how to think. And he said, I was very liberal. You know, we need to feed the poor, this, that, and the other. We need to be socialist, all that. He said, I find it funny that now that I'm an adult, if you want to be anti-establishment, if you want to be punk rock, by default, you are now politically and morally conservative. If you want to be anti-establishment and punk rock, as a man, you're going to get married and you're going to get a job and you're going to raise children and you're going to be conservative. And he said, all of my friends push back and say, well, all of those people, they're Christians. He's like, well, Christians, good for you for being punk rock. And I just thought that was brilliant. And it reminds me of this, or this post reminded me of that. We live in a culture that prioritizes comfort. It is so very comfortable to stay in the echo chamber. Get out of your echo chamber. Go find somebody that disagrees with you and try to engage them, build a relationship and talk about the Bible. And, digital Bible studies taking a break for a while. I know they needed it, but we sure do miss them. Yeah. I didn't realize they was taking a break, but yeah, I mean, I can see why. Folks, I think I've got it all out of my system. Here's the deal. Don't disparage the local congregation because you're able to go to these conferences and stuff. If you're not getting out of the local congregation, and I'm not talking about doctrine. I mean, Terry talked about doctrine and stuff like that. Look, that's an issue. And you may be dealing with something like that. But whenever you are in your local congregation, be all in. Be all in. Don't be in your local congregation, but having an eye out for the next brotherhood meeting or something like that. Spend time, build relationships, spend time with your local congregation and build your local congregation up. And it won't be long. You'll be getting the same kind of uplifting and feelings and stuff like that from your local congregation as you do from these brotherhood conferences, gospel meetings, and lectureships. Cindy Colley has her new Bible study book out now. If any ladies would like to download it or purchase it and be a digger. Yeah, we have like 20. Y'all, this is huge. We have like 20 ladies up here that meet every other week for Cindy Colley's, and they do Cindy Colley's Digging Deep thing. They meet Tuesday night for a few hours. It wasn't long ago that the congregation wasn't 20 people strong, and now we have 20 people in the Digging Deep group for the Canadian Digging Deep ladies, and they meet every other Tuesday night. That's huge. Focus on the local congregation. That's the deal. Can you eat too much spiritual food? If you're not exercising, you can. So if you have a problem with Luke's article, go talk to him. And surely you don't have a problem with me. I hope I've presented myself fair and balanced. Please don't leave the live stream saying that I'm disparaging polishing the pulpit, gospel meetings, or lectureships. I'm not. I think we need them. I think we need to be careful about how we perceive them and how we treat them. But that's just like anything else. Just got to be careful. Folks, yeah, I knew what you meant, Deborah. It's okay. Colley. And appreciate you, Jason. We love you. We love you too, man. So that's all I've got here. This has been Tony Brewer with Cogitations. Remember, you can support me monetarily at Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. You get a weekly exclusive video if you support me through those means, either or. And please subscribe to my Substack. Let me link my Substack in the comment section again. For those of you, just click on it, subscribe it. It's going to ask you to pledge a subscription for the future. You don't have to do that. Just subscribe. If you do want to pledge a subscription for the future, remember, once I monetize, it's going to charge you money. So this is not me trying to get more money out of you or any money out of you. I mean, I am going to monetize in the future, but just subscribe to it. You'll be fine. I'm done talking about that. In Albuquerque, we would have gospel meetings and open meetings led by preachers about community issues. Wow. I love that. I'm going to put that up there so it don't jump. Well, I said I am. There it is. In Albuquerque, we would have gospel meetings and open meetings led by preachers about community issues, i.e. abortion, the Church of Satan. It was a problem at the time, and one on biblical archaeology. Angie, that's a really good thing. I wonder if I could raise enough support to get two or three speakers up here and have an open community meeting about moral issues. That would be interesting. Yeah, I like that. Think outside the box. Focus local. Think outside the box. Enjoy polishing the pulpit and lectureships and gospel meetings. Make sure the dog is wagging the tail. And make sure you are exercising more than you're eating, spiritually and physically. Make sure you're exercising more than you're eating, but I don't feel like I have the authority to tell you that, because that's like the pot calling the kettle black. That's all I've got here. God bless you. Be sure and subscribe. This has been Tony Brewer with Cogitations, and we'll catch you on the flip side.